The mandate has come to the church only temporarily for a season. In fact, for the last 2,000 years, until Jesus come back. And when Jesus come back, we jolly well return it to the rightful owner. Chinese say what? 物归原主. Yeah, correct or not? Yeah, 物归原主. Not 物归. 物归原主. Okay, Romans 11, verse 11. Cynthia and Fan don't know, ask Elizabeth for translation. Yeah. verse 11. Paul says this. I say then, have they stumbled? Do you know what they stumble into? They stumble in sin and unbelief. That's why they stumble. Paul is arguing the case that the rejection by Jesus on the calling is not final. He's going to give back to the Jewish people. He said, I say then, have they stumbled? He's talking about stumble in sin and unbelief. Have they stumbled that they should fall? This fall is referring to permanently losing her leadership. Paul said, do you think they permanently lost their leadership? Paul said, certainly not. Two words that Paul mentioned the most time in the book of Romans is certainly not. I would like to say, of course not. Okay, a little bit more polite. Okay, but no, I'm not saying, Paul, I'm not saying you're rude or whatever. I say, certainly not. You think that they stumble in sin and unbelief, and because of that, God has forever write off their calling? Paul said, no. You got it wrong. You are grossly mistaken. Listen to what Paul said. But through their fall, this is not talking about losing permanently her leadership role for all nations. Talking about through their fall. That means through their unbelief and their sin and their rejection of the Messiah. And God has a better plan. To provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. No, if you study this carefully, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Talk about more than just individual salvation. Talking about the church is given the role of bringing and preaching the gospel through all nations. Matthew 24, verse 15. The witness of the gospel will be preached to all nations. Has now come to the Gentiles. Temporarily. Verse 12. Now if they are four, again, talks about her sin and unbelief. This is not talking about permanently losing their role, their calling. Now if they are four, is riches for the world, and their failure, riches for the Gentile. How much more they are fullness. There's this aspect about the fullness of, I will talk about it as I go further, fullness of Israel. So please understand this. The first thing about the mystery of God concerning Israel or God's plan for Israel is that her call is irrevocable. God has not permanently written off her call. Second one. Second. The Jewish people has the temporary spiritual blindness. The Jewish people have a temporary spiritual blindness, partly preordained by God, but primarily because of her sin and unbelief. Let's read verse 1, no, verse 7. Let's turn to Romans 11, verse 7. Romans 11. Yes, partly preordained by God. God say himself, but primarily because of her sin and unbelief, which Paul gave four reasons in Romans 10. Okay, I'll just run through quickly. Romans 10, four reasons. If you read verse 1, that's her sin and unbelief. The Jewish people actually didn't think that they need salvation. They think that it's a Gentile who needs salvation. That's verse 1, Romans 10. Second reason, she has a misguided zeal. She has a misguided zeal. Third reason, pride and self-righteousness. You know, when God brought Israel exile 70 years into Babylon, he totally wiped off idolatry among the Jewish people. But they came back, no idolatry, but they went into legalism. That's why she got into misguided zeal, pride and self-righteousness. That's where it leads to the last part, which is verse 4 to 13. She misunderstood the law. That's why when Jesus came, the Pharisees, which Jesus rebuked in John chapter 5, You search the scripture, but you're unwilling to come to me. It's coming to me that you have life. You misunderstood the law. That's the reason, four reasons why Israel was partially blinded. But partially because of preordained by God. God has a higher purpose so that the gospel will come to the Gentiles. Let's read verse 7. And then I'll give you two aspects of the blindness of Israel. I tell you, it's amazing. It's unbelievable, the kind of blindness. Verse 7, Romans 11. What then? Israel has not obtained what is sick, but the elect, talking about the Gentile church, have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Verse 8. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that should not see, ears that they should not hear, to this very day. And David said, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block, and the recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see, and bow down their backs always. Partially preordained by God, but primarily due to her sin and unbelief. Give you two aspects of Israel's blindness. The first aspect is she's unable to see Jesus as their Messiah. They are totally blinded. That's why Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. In the last days, God will pour out the spirit of grace and supplication. Our eyes will suddenly see. The second one is amazing. Maybe the word amazing is not the right one. The second one is the blindness of Israel referred to her unique hostility against Jesus. That's why when God opens their eyes, again in Zechariah 12, 10, when you look at the one hanging on the tree, he said, oh, we have wrongly persecuted you. Why were we so hostile? Because spiritual blindness. Okay. Third one. The first one, the call of Israel is irrevocable. Second, the Jewish people have temporarily spiritual blindness. The blindness will be lifted. Okay. God will use the Gentile church to help. That's why we need to provoke. Okay. I'm going to talk about it in the last part quickly. Then 2 weeks from now, I'm going to go a little bit more detail. Third one, all Israel will be saved. Romans 11, verse 26. All Israel will be saved. This is literal. 100%. Of course, this will happen in the context of great tribulation. If you throw in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7 to 9. Just prior to the second coming of Jesus, before transition into the millennium age, 100% of the Jewish people will be saved. Not just in Israel, but global, worldwide. Now globally, there are about, if you consider pure Jewish, that means rabbinic Jews, only consider themselves Jew if your father is a Jew and mother is a Jew. Okay, so that means about 13 million. There are about 18 million Jewish people where their mother is a Jew, but father is not. Okay, but worldwide, they will all 100% be saved. Of course, if you throw in Zechariah 13, it's kind of scary because 2/3 will be cut off. Then 1/3, 100% will be saved. Turn with me to Acts 3. Acts 3. How this will happen? That's where you need to understand Joel 2, verse 28 to 32, and Zechariah 12, verse 10. God in the last days will pour out His Spirit, of course, to the Gentile church as well, but to all Jews, their eyes were suddenly opened. They will be converted. There will be a massive revival leading to the second coming of Jesus. And at that moment, 100% will get saved. I mean, I don't know whether it's one day or whatever. Some argue that it's in one day, but the scripture is not very clear. But I know that it's going to be intense. is going to be dramatic. Whoa, but I want to give you one more. I discovered something last 2 weeks as I begin to read. If you throw in Acts 3, this is amazing. The second coming of Jesus is contingent on Jewish people turning to Him. That means repentance, conversion, and salvation. How many percent? I don't know. I know people ask me, why am I talking about percentage? Because if you read Romans 11, I'm going to go back to Romans 11. Paul gives a hint. If a certain percentage gets saved, everyone will be considered holy. And Jesus come back. Listen to Acts 3. Acts 3. I tell you, that give me lots of zeal to pray for the salvation of the Jews worldwide. I have lots of zeal now because partly it's personal. Because I want to see fast second coming of Jesus. Let's turn to Acts 3. Okay. If you read Acts 3 carefully, Paul is primarily, in fact, the context. It's Peter. Peter is addressing to the Jewish people. Because verse 11, it says, men of Israel, I'm talking to you. You are the one who persecute the Messiah, and so on and so on. Then it comes to verse 19. Let's go to verse 19, which is in the context again, first of all, speaking to Jew. Second is about the second coming of Jesus. And that's where Peter lay out the criteria. He said this, verse 19. Repent, and therefore be converted, and your sins may be blotted out, so that time of reflection, that means season of revival, which is happening right now, season of revival for the Jew worldwide. Many Jewish people are becoming messianic, okay? Season of times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You know, we always stop here. We're just asking for the presence of God. I remember last time I do soaking meeting. This is one of the favorite verse. Remember, time of refreshing. Remember the song? Here in your prayer. Read Acts 3, verse 19. I mean, you can quote it that way, but the context is about the second coming of Jesus. Verse 20, that's where I stop at 19. I mean, then I know little. Small bird, don't know catapult. Never mind, verse 20. Young bird, not small bird. Verse 20, the context, second coming. That he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Verse 21, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things. What is he talking about? The millennial kingdom. The second coming, the transition into the millennial age, is contingent on Jewish people turning to the Lord. Not 100%. I suspect there is a certain percentage. I'm kind of asking a question, inverted comma. Maybe a 10%? Why? Turn with me to Hebrews 11, verse 16. Hebrews 11. Okay, again, I know I'm not going to turn to the verses. Go ahead and read on your own. Okay, write this down. Leviticus 23, verse 9 to 17. Numbers 15, verse 17 to 21. Let me give it to you again. Leviticus 23, verse 9 to 17. Numbers 15, verse 17 to 21, where it's talking about the feast of the first fruit, talking about offering. Okay, when you offer the first 10%, actually, God gave a command as an offering. Come and offer the first fruit. That means if you give the 10%, everything, whether it's the dough or your money or your resources, whatever, if you offer the 10% to God as the first fruit, everything will be holy. When you go to Romans 11, go to Romans 11, verse 16. Paul quote these two verses, which I suspect, maybe he's giving a hint that if there is a certain percentage, a tithe is 10%, right? Now again, I'm asking a question. Probably no one can be absolutely sure until as God grant more revelations. No one can be absolutely sure how many percentage. And I don't care. I just keep praying. If it's 20%, I pray for 20%. If it's 50%, I pray for 50%. But unlikely to be 100%. Because the scripture is very clear. You will not be 100% until the second coming of Jesus. So let's pray for the global revival of the Jew. There will be increase of salvation among the Jewish people. Let's turn to Romans 11, verse 16. That's where Paul gives a hint. A powerful hint. You got to study this in the context of Acts 3. Wow. I mean, I'm excited by it. Excited. Paul said this, verse 16. Because you must understand in the context of the fullness of Israel in the previous verses. For if the first fruit is holy, he's actually quoting Leviticus 23 and Numbers 15, which is in the context of the feast of the first fruit, about offering the first 10%. If you offer the first 10%, everything will be sanctified. For if the first fruit is holy, the lamb, I don't know why I use the word lamb, actually it's a dough, because he's talking about, he's using the context of offering unleavened bread or leavened bread. If the first fruit is holy, the dough is also holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. And when you understand this, if you go to the earlier few verses of Romans 11, you know why God preserved the remnant? Because there's a need of the remnant. The remnant is contingent in the second coming of Jesus and the transition to the next age. That's what it is about. Okay, go and think about it. You don't have to agree with me, but I'm going to pray. I'm not going to dogmatic about how many percent. I suspect if you go strictest of the stricter by Leviticus 23, again, I'm not going to be dogmatic about it. I suspect it could be 10%. Even 10%, we are pretty far, no? There are 18 million Jews globally. Currently, only 250,000 Messianic Jewish people. So that's how many percentage? Annabelle not here, okay. William, how many percent? Okay, count, then tell me later. Okay, so that's the third one. All Israel will be saved. And it's contingent to the second coming. Fourth one, the fullness of Israel. That's where often, even when we teach about Israel, we focus a lot on all Israel will be saved. We hardly talk about the fullness of Israel. Okay, let me just explain a little bit what's the fullness of Israel. But when Paul talked about the fullness of Israel, what he's trying to say that is this, the fullness of Israel will result in God's glory filling the earth. It will result. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Let's read. Let me read from verse 12. Romans 11, verse 12. No, we have to differentiate. The difference between all Israel will be saved and the fullness of Israel is two different things. There are four aspects to the fullness of Israel. There are four. Write this down. Now I read the verse for you. Write this down. Fullness of salvation. That's the first aspect. Zechariah 13, verse 7 to 9. 100% will be saved. But the fullness of salvation is not fullness of Israel. It's only part of the fullness of Israel. That's the first aspect. Second aspect. Fullness of deliverance from her enemies. That means she will no longer under Gentile domination. Do you know there's a difference between Gentile domination and the fullness of Gentiles? Okay, it's a different. Fullness of Gentiles is a good thing. Gentile domination is not a good thing for the Jewish perspective. Okay, so the fullness of Israel, the second aspect is fullness of deliverance from her enemy, Isaiah 26. Third one. Fullness of Israel also refers to fullness of cleansing and removal of all her sins. Okay, all her sins. Isaiah 27 to 59. Go and read carefully. I said, wow, so many chapters. Yeah, but it's a good chapter to read. Isaiah 27, verse 59. I want to find a time to teach on Isaiah. A time now. Okay, yeah. Isaiah 20, chapter 27 to chapter 59. 27 to 59, okay? Not 27 and 59. Okay, Isaiah 27 to chapter 59. Zechariah 13, verse 1 to 6. Zechariah 13, verse 1 to 6. The last part of the fullness of Israel, for aspect, is she will move in fullness of power and godly character. That's Isaiah 60 and 61. Isaiah 60 and 61. What will happen is this. When the fullness of Israel happens, she'll be restored to her original calling. That will usher her into the millennial kingdom. 100% of the nation will be saved. She'll be the first nation that's fully discipled. The Great Commission. I mean, I share it many times. Matthew 28. The Great Commission will not be fulfilled in this age. But the next age, the first nation will be 100% fully discipled, obeying every way of Jesus that he laid out. In Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, Israel will be the first nation. Okay, write this down. Yeah, where's the verse? I find a verse for you another time. I can't remember where's the verse. Can't find. Then, she take back her call to disciple the rest of the nation. That's Isaiah chapter 2. 2 and 3. Remember I shared many times. Nation will go to Jerusalem. Learn from Jesus. More than just learn from Jesus. Learn from the Jewish people. Get used to it. We'll go take port and so on. You won't go to Disneyland. You want to go to Jerusalem. They'll do conferences of what it means to be a godly nation. Okay. More than just governmental. How to plant tree. Government. Economy, spiritual, education, family, media, entertainment, agriculture. We will learn from the Jewish people. They run conferences, not just Holy Spirit conferences. Come, Holy Spirit, okay? Teach you how to plant tree. Well, that's what it is about. That's where you get the seven mountain thing. See, they make a mistake. When we talk about the seven mountain, when many people believe that we can fully claim back seven mountains, not in this age. Next age, where we're going to learn from who? Israel. No, there are agriculture conferences we're throwing come Holy Spirit too. Okay, now you know the plant seed. Okay, now we anoint you. Come Holy Spirit on all the farmers throughout the whole world. Boom. I mean, yeah, because glory of God has come down. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Exciting, isn't it? You all don't seem to be excited. I don't say, go for agriculture conference. No, it'd be different. It's the way of the Lord. Huh? What do you say? We still plant tree. We still eat. Millennium kingdom. Okay. And of course, the fullness of Israel means that Jesus will establish his governmental center here on earth in Jerusalem. That is Jeremiah 3:17. Y'all don't believe. Go and read Isaiah. It's true. No, the conference part is my own interpretation. Okay, if you know that conference, you don't have to use the word conference, but you go there and learn. I don't know how you're going to do it. Okay, we're going to go. Then one day we meet. Hey, Kevin, which conference are you going? The business one or the agriculture one? Oh, business one. So I'm going for the educational one. And then William. Oh, William is media. Okay, William going to media conference and so on. Then Gwen, lawyer, go to the judistic and so on, and we learn. That's what it is about. Then the priest, Kei Chong. Oh, I'm going to the Come Holy Spirit conference. But don't worry, at the end of your agriculture conference, they'll become Holy Spirit too. We are going there to learn. Israel will be the prototype. She will be the first nation to teach the world what it means to be a godly nation. Wow, I tell you, I love it. I say, my prime minister is full of the Spirit. Unbelievable, isn't it? My prime minister knows the Bible. This morning, we just did a Bible study. And at the end of it, he said, come, Holy Spirit. I must learn how to pray, come, Holy Spirit, in Hebrew. Just for fun. Okay. Yeah, maybe you could go there. Hey, is it come, Holy Spirit? Then I guess Zeb, maybe they say, oh, that is come, Holy Spirit. Okay, never mind. The fourth one. It's the fullness of Israel. Hey, I haven't read the verse. Let me read the verse. Let's go to Romans 11, verse 12. No, I'm running through some of this so that we understand. We have to pray for all Jews to be saved as well as for the fullness of Israel to come to pass. Romans 11, let me read from verse 11. Romans 11, verse 11. I'm going to read until verse 15 because unfortunately, a lot of times we read verse 11 to verse 15, we understand in the context of revival, church growth. No! If we understand the context of revival, church growth, we are settling for much less. It's about millennium kingdom, the glory of God filling the earth, resurrection of the dead, not just revival. No, I want revival, but this is better than revival. Way beyond revival, but is contingent based on the fullness of Israel. Verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they I'm just going to read through because I expound it earlier. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has now come to the Gentiles. Listen to verse 12. Now if their fall is riches for the world, you know why riches for the world? First of all, is that the gospel has come through all nations. And eventually, the preaching of the gospel will be fulfilled through all nations. And more than that, there's revival that's happening. God is raising up the fivefold ministry. Nations and people are blessed. Church is growing. Righteousness and justice are slowly being established. That's what Paul is talking about. Now, if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more? The word is how much more is their fullness. Verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles. We are all Gentiles, okay? There's no Jew here, I'm sure. Okay. Verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, is in as much as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. Verse 14, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, and save some of them. Listen to verse 15. For if they are being cast away, is the reconciling of the world. That means the gospel has come to the nation. Nation being rich. Every nation, every people group has received the good news of the Lord. Listen to what Paul says. What will be their acceptance in the context of fullness of Israel? Be, but life from the dead. Resurrection of the dead. The glory of God will be released throughout the whole earth. Wow. So that's the fullness of Israel. Last one. Fullness, which is us, our role, our responsibilities. Fullness of Gentile to provoke Israel to jealousy. You know that's our role? We've got to do all we can. No, I mean, it's okay to embrace all the Jewish culture and so on, but that's not provoking. I talked to some of the Messianic Jewish people, rabbi even. They told me it's a turn off. That's not provoking. Let me tell you what is provoking. Provoking Israel to jealousy means that when they look at us, they begin to desire what we have spiritually. When they look at us, say, you remind me of Moses parting the Red Sea. You remind me of Elijah. This is our inheritance. How come it's with you? They begin to get jealous. They begin to turn to us. That is provoking Israel to jealousy. Okay, there are 1, 2, 3 aspects of the fullness of Gentiles. You need to understand these 3 aspects so that we can provoke the Jews to jealousy. Do you know that? We know putting all this done Jewish chain to Jewish thing is a turn off to them. I talked to a Messianic Jewish, he's a rabbi too, he tell me this. Kichon, do you know how to provoke us Jews to jealousy? If you know the Torah more than us. I tell you, when we talk to the Jew, they know the Torah. So he was teaching among in a big group. I'm not going to mention the nationality. Okay, the whole group got offended because after the whole teaching, he asked this question. So, who is being provoked to jealousy? You Gentiles or me Jew? We all sat there. It's like, wow, this guy know the Bible. They know the Bible. So to provoke the Jew to jealousy is, you know the Word of God. More than just you know the Word of God. You know their Messiah. You know the Jehovah God. And it's real in your life. They say, does that remind me of the God of Abraham? How come it's with you? I'm jealous. Tell me, how can I get to know again the God of Abraham, Isaac? His name is Jehovah. They say, through his son. He's a Messiah. He's Yeshua. You know that the Jew, somehow, there is this spiritual, they call it the spiritual, what do you call it? The chip thing. Input within them, you don't really need to share the gospel with them. You just need to provoke them. You put them in the room, ask them, just hear your God talks to you. Just by the way, throwing the name Yeshua, you will be surprised. They are just being wired because it's the sovereignty and grace of God. You can't teach them. You can only provoke them because they know the scripture. They grow up. This is their culture. Our culture is Ang Pao, you know, Chinese New Year. Their culture is about revolve around the feast and so on. You can't teach them. In fact, we are learning from them. Then how do you provoke? You show them who is the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And they look at you and say, wow, I want what you have. Isn't that our inheritance? You got to remind them of Moses, what Moses did. No, again, the context of provoking Israel to jealousy. The fullness of the prophecy has not been fulfilled yet. The fullness of provoking Israel to jealousy will be in the context of great tribulation, where we will take them in. Then we are reminding them, Moses, who took them out of the persecution of the great Pharaoh, reenactment of Antichrist. We took them in. We have to do what's the lady's name? Corrie ten Boom again. They say, why are you risking your life? And they are being touched. Then you sit around the table. We are Chinese, so eat chicken rice. They do eat chicken rice, right? Okay. Yeah, no, I know Americans say potatoes and steak, but no pork chop. Okay. You sit around the table. 10 person in the room. You only have 4 plates of chicken rice. So how? You say, oh God, will you multiply one more time? Just like in Exodus, you send quail and, what is the other one? I used to think that quail is, a snail. You send quail and you send manna one more time. Multiply the chicken rice. We have only 4 plates, but we have 10 people. And they multiply. They are reminded of Moses. Or Elijah. Remember Elijah, the woman, the widow, only have not enough food. And then we say, who is this? How come you have? They are being provoked to jealousy. And so on. So there are three aspects of the fullness of the Gentiles. I'm going to talk more in detail. It's not about your knowledge. If you are proving to them that the Messiah is real, you are standing with them, praying with them. Fullness of Gentile, 3 aspects. Full number being slave. No, not slave. Full number of Gentiles come to salvation. We don't know the number, but at least we know that gospel will be preached to all nations. Second, fullness of God's power. We will move in God's power. I tell you, the Jews doesn't need you to tell them. They want a miracle. Is it 1 Corinthians? I think it's 1 Corinthians 2. The Jews demand a miracle. The Greek wants what? Wisdom. They want argument. The Jew is not going to argue with you. Show me. Is this the God of Abraham? He parted the Red Sea. You say Yeshua is our Messiah. He didn't do anything. And remember Jesus, the last rebuke to to the Pharisees, said, I will not give you a sign. The only sign I'm giving to you is that 3 days this temple will be destroyed. 3 days later, the temple will be built again, which is referring to his crucifixion. And they look at him and say, how can you destroy this temple and build in 3 days where our forefather is referring to Zerubbabel, took 20 over years to build? Because they are looking for a sign. So the church, that's why God is going to pour out his spirit in the last day, Joel 2, 28 to 32 prophecy, on the church, primarily to provoke Israel to jealousy. That's what it is about. Third one, fullness of maturity as a church, that we become mature as the bride, that we really know the heart of Jesus. Ephesians 4, verse 13. Ephesians 5, verse 27. Let me just say it one more time. This prophecy about provoking Israel to jealousy is not fulfilled yet. We are not even near. No, we are provoking to a certain extent, but we are not even near. We are not. It will be primarily in the context of end time, where the Jews will be facing great tribulation. We stand with them, risk our life, take them in, do a Corrie Ten Boom one more time and say, how come you're risking your life? Because God loves you, and because you are the chosen by our God, his name is Yeshua, we will take you in and we perform miracles. We teach them about the way of Yahweh from the scripture. Their eyes open and say that we didn't see that way. And then they will be provoked. They will be jealous of what we have. Say, how can I get what you have? Say, call upon the name of Yeshua and you will be saved. That's why they look at us, they begin to look, you know what is Hebrews 11 written for? It's written to the Jew. The Enoch, the Abraham, the Isaac, the Sarah, the Moses, the Elijah, the David, and so on. When you look at us, say, isn't this the saints of old? How come it's reflecting in your character? How come it's manifesting through your life and your ministry? Isn't that belongs to us? And you know what I say? It belongs to you. We are just being grafted in, Romans 11. Now we are asking you to come back, to take back the primary position. That's where we're going to lay it down at your feet, saying that this is your call. We as a younger brother, now we give it back to you. Chinese say, Kong Long Lang Li. You know what's Kong Long Lang Li, right? I thought it's so biblical. No, I'm not biblical, I'm just joking. It's just, now give it back. Now, this is your primary call. Okay, explain to Fan and Cynthia. Okay, now I'm giving you back. It is your calling. We were just, what do you call, custodian for 2,000 years. It's yours. It's yours. We are only being grafted in. We are the wild olive tree taking the fatness through the root. You are the root. You are the rightful one. And their eyes will be opened. Many will get saved. That's provoking Israel to jealousy, not romanticizing and so on. We have to pray for wisdom and understanding. And how do we provoke Israel to jealousy? Okay, I mean, it's fine. You want to change whatever name is okay. Banyap Min, Joshua Yap. Hey, Joshua is Jewish, so don't need to change. Yeah. So, Calvin. Yeah, Calvin change. Change K or whatever. Whatever. I mean, it's okay if you change names, but it's more than just changing names. It's showing them who this Messiah is. This is what it is about. So, five aspects of the mystery of Israel. Actually, I put it, let me just read it. I can summarize it. I put it in my Facebook. Mystery of God concerning Israel is the temporary blindness of Israel that has caused the gospel to come to the Gentile. And the eventual fullness of Gentile will lead to the salvation, 100% salvation of Israel, which will result in the fullness of Israel and therefore usher in the second coming of Jesus, resulting in God's glory filling the millennial earth and the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. That itself is the mystery of God concerning Israel. It's not, no, it's all about Israel, but it's not about Israel. Turn with me to Romans 7. I'm going to end with this. It's always important at the end of the day to remind ourselves there's two litmus tests. That's Romans 11, verse 30 to Romans 12, verse 1. Two litmus tests, true tests of whether you fully understand the mystery of Israel. If you truly understand, it will awaken you. No, it will produce worship, obstructness. You'll be so caught up by the brilliance of God. Not just looking at Israel, say, wow, Israel. No, wow, God of Israel. That's what Paul say. Romans 11, verse 30. No, it's good. Love Israel. Don't be fanatical. There are something that she is doing right now is not exactly right. You have to correct her. We don't have to be blind to everything. That's why at the end of the day, it's about seeing God, His plan through this nation. It's all about Israel, but not about Israel. If we look at Israel, we are not excited about God, then we miss the point. That's where many people are more excited about Israel than God. We miss the point. Yes, we need to be excited about Israel, but the result is always God. Okay, that's why Paul said this. Verse, let me read from verse 33. No, let me read from verse 30. Because Paul was amazed. He said, brilliant God, how do you do this? Okay, verse 30. For as you were once disobedient to God, talking about the Gentiles, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience. Talking about Israel. Because of disobedience of Israel, the Gentiles have obtained mercy. Verse 31. Even so, they also have now been disobedient, talking about the Jew, that through the mercy of God that shown you, that means we will provoke them to jealousy, they also may obtain mercy. Talking about eventually, the Jewish people will come back. They will receive the mercy of God. Verse 33. For God has not committed them all to disobedience, that He might have mercy on all. Say, wow. It's not the end. Paul is saying, it's not the end. Just watch how God will play out this whole thing. You will say, brilliant God. Brilliant. That's where Paul said, oh, enough. Let's not get technical. Let's put aside a little bit of theological or doctrine. Let me just worship. That's where Paul, a lot of times, in writing the epistle, he said, oh, unto the King eternal, unto the Lord immortal. You know what is he doing? Halfway writing, a truth strike him, or rather a revelation strike him. I say, oh, worship, worship. It's like sometimes we read the Bible, it's like, wow, I'm the bride. Oh, Jesus, unbelievable. That's what is happening to Paul now. He said, brilliant God, brilliant, excellent, marvelous, whatever adjective you can throw in. Call adjective, right? Whatever. He said this, verse 33. Oh, the depth of riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgment and His way past finding out. Verse 34. He began to worship. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him and it shall be repaid to Him? For of Him and through Him and to Him are... Wow, this one is... Remember the song Worthy of It All? By this guy, David Brenner. Yeah, to him, he's worthy, he said. For him, through him, to him, unto him, whatever. Are all things whom be glory forever. Amen. The first test, you got to be awestruck. You will worship. Second, which is verse 1, chapter 12. You know, a lot of times, a lot of theologians think that is referring to Romans 1, to Romans 8. No, I mean, it's true. It's partly Romans 1, verse 8, but it's in the context now about Israel. If you really understand the mystery of Israel, it will awaken you to live with reckless abandonment. See, I can do it for you, God. If you're so brilliant, I can do it for you. That's where Paul said this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, which is referring to verse 31 to 33 in the context of that, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your acceptable worship. These are two true litmus tests. And of course, the third one, which is not here, is Isaiah 62, we will pray. That's the reason why I'm teaching it.